John chapter number 14, I'll read two verses and let you be seated, or maybe three. John chapter 14 and verse number 27. Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I've been doing a study of men in the Bible that are in crisis in their life, and I'm glad that there's help for every situation in the Word of God, and there's nothing new under the sun, just different individuals going through the same things, and I'm glad the Word of God has answers. I was telling you, preacher, we was looking at Noah, and Noah did such a great work. One man said that Noah lived right in a wrong world, but then he got wrong in a right world. And I believe all the years of Noah up to the flood were about 600 years. But he lived 350 years after that, and there's not one thing said about him. And we don't ever want to lose our testimony. Then we was talking about Moses and how that Moses smote that rock. I actually heard your preacher preach up in our area about Moses smiting that rock. And I began to read that and look at it. And you know, Aaron was with Moses the whole time the Lord talked to him. And we know that the Lord took Moses up on top of the mount and took him on to be with the Lord, didn't let him go in. But did you know that the Lord took Aaron as well, took him up on Mount Hor, H-O-R, and told Moses, said, strip him of his garments and take those priestly garments off of him. And I began to ask the question, why did Aaron die? Why? He didn't smite the rock. And, you know, some say, well, maybe it was because of making that golden calf and causing the people to worship in idolatry. That may have been, but I would almost think that the Lord would have done it sooner. And just kept asking the question, you know, why did the Lord take Aaron? Then as I was reading, you know, Moses was a picture of the law, and the law couldn't get Israel into the promised land. And Aaron, he's a picture of the priests. And the priest could not get the children of Israel into the promised land. Miriam, their sister, was a prophetess, and she couldn't get them into the promised land. They all had to be taken off the scene so Joshua could come on. And we know Joshua was a picture and a type of Christ, and Christ is able to meet every crisis and fulfill every crisis. I was looking at Lot. Do you ever wonder how good people get in situations that they get in? I don't have all the answers. I know some men that think they do. But I just stand back, scratch my head, and I say, I don't understand how good things can happen. You know, I've always heard that Lot was in Sodom because he loved that position at the gate. But I found out in about five chapters before that, he already had a mailbox set up in Sodom. And Abraham had to come and get him out after they had been overtaken. And he left that altar that Abraham, his uncle, had made. And we don't ever want to leave the house of God and the place of God, because if you do, it's always going to be going down, a place of going down. But here in John 14, we don't just have one character that's in a crisis. We've got several. And they're the chosen 12 of our Lord. And it's one of the most famous chapters in John's writing. And we know that Jesus is 100% God, and he's 100% man. And he's getting ready to die. And he loved his disciples so much that he set them down and he prepared them for his departure. Do you understand John 14? It's a conversation. You know, we've heard it so much. And I know I heard it growing up. My daddy preached a lot on the second coming. I remember my brother preaching out of these first six verses on MacArthur. And he's preaching that message, "I shall return," when he was talking to those soldiers there in the Philippines. But do you understand that John 14 is a conversation between Jesus, and it starts out with all of his disciples, and then it ends up in where I read in our text this evening, to all of his disciples. But in the midst of it, the famous verses that we know, Jesus talks to three of the lesser known disciples, if you will. He talks to Thomas, and he talks to Philip. And he talks to a man by Judas, and the Bible says that his name is not Iscariot. How would you like to go through life and people say, hey, Jim, not Iscariot? You know, they're trying to determine that it's not him. But in the first six verses, those famous verses, he tells his disciples of a place that's not seen. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In verse 16 down through verse 26, he talks about the person of the Holy Spirit, that comforter that he's going to leave. And then to Judas, not Iscariot, he talks about a peace when that separation does come. He's told them that he's going to have to go away. And it's interesting, in verse number 1, he talks about, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then in verse number 11, he talks to Philip about, believe me that I am in the Father. And then in our text, he summarizes this conversation with the disciples about believing. And in these last days, in all of the crisis that we face and our children are going to face and grandchildren, if the Lord doesn't come, we're going to have to believe God. We're going to have to believe Him and trust Him. And you know, these three disciples, Thomas, we're going to hear Thomas pretty much talk like you and I. And he's just going to say, we don't know. We don't know. Jesus is going to tell him, I'm going away. And he said, the way you know. But Thomas is just going to reply, we don't know. And Philip is going to say, show us. Show us and we'll believe. And then Judas, not Iscariot, he's like me, I believe. He said, I just don't understand. I don't understand why he has to go away. I don't understand why good people have to go through bad situations. You know, the 13th chapter was a bad chapter, they thought. Peter didn't understand about worship, about serving the Lord, and the Lord began to talk about betrayal, and one of them was going to betray. And then he even tells Peter at the end of chapter 13 that he's going to deny him. And this conversation starts in chapter 14. And I really believe these first six verses, I know that they've been used about salvation, and I believe the application's there. But he's telling them that he is going away, but he is coming back. And I know we've heard it all of our lives. He has went away, but he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. And I believe, I'm not going to set a date, I'm not that ignorant, but I believe he's coming back soon, because I can see several that are in the building this morning that was alive when Israel became a nation. And I know that before all of you pass off the scene, he promised that generation that he would come. So what we're going to be doing, we need to be about our Father's business, because he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. But in verse number 1, he talks about the problems of life. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And to Thomas, he's going to talk about the mental problems of not being able to understand. To Philip, it's perceptional problems, things that he can't figure out. And to Judas, it's just rational. He can't rationalize it in his mind. And you understand, faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There's some of these things about serving the Lord we're not going to be able to figure out, but we're going to have to believe in Him and trust in Him. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, the person of the Lord. And you know, believing, it has to come beyond troubles and fears. That's where they're at. And you know, problems that we face and all of us face, they make it hard to believe. The night before my oldest son got saved a few weeks ago on a Thursday night, we were talking. We'd been in revival and he and I were up about 11 o'clock talking. And I said, Zeke, do you believe in the Lord? He said, Daddy, I believe in what you've taught me. He said, I don't know if there's a heaven or there's a hell. He said, I know you've taught me that, but it never become real to him. And I'm glad that next night that the Lord made it real and the Lord came to where he was. And it wasn't his daddy talking to him. It was that voice from the other world. But situations make it hard to believe. And believing is by faith. And trusting, I believe it's a little bit on our responsibility. We're going to have to trust him and believe in him. In verse number 2, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He's not lying to us. He wasn't lying to them. He said, if it weren't true, I would have told you. If this wasn't real, I would have told you. And then he said, there's a place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's not always going to be this way. There's not always going to be troubles and trials. But until then, we're going to have to trust him in these times of crisis. In verse number 3, he gives the promise of a literal return. He said, and if I go away, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And these three verses that he's given have been in preparation for his dying and for his leaving. In verse 4, he opens up the floor. And he says in verse number 4, and whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And then this conversation comes to the floor and they begin to talk. Thomas, it wasn't Peter, it wasn't John, it wasn't Matthew. Thomas begins to speak. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. Now the Lord just told him in verse 4, whether I go you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. And how can we know the way? Verse 6, and Jesus saith unto him. This is a personal conversation between Jesus and Thomas. And he said, I am the way. Thomas knew that, but he needed to hear it again. I'm glad I've heard that you can say amen to the goodness of the Lord, but I'm glad I got to witness it again this morning. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What Thomas is saying, it's talking about the perplexity of the Lord leaving and the situation and the crisis. He said, we know not. He said, I just don't know. And I wonder as we face these times in 2015, and you just sit back and you say, I just don't know. We're going to have to believe Him. We're going to have to trust Him in the things that we may not fully understand. He is the way. He was the way. In verse number 4, He told them, I go the way, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. But they couldn't see it. And a lot of times when we can't see it and can't figure it out, it begins to become hard to believe. We're going to have to trust Jesus. We're going to have to believe. In verse number 7, he said, talking to Thomas, if ye had known me, ye have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now this conversation goes from Jesus and Thomas. Philip steps up in verse number 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, and do you understand Philip is getting ready to receive some of the greatest verses in John chapter 14. And the thought tonight is if you and I will just be honest with Jesus, if we'll just pull our halos in and fold our wings up and just come to Him with an honest heart and say, Lord, I don't understand. It hurts. We've tried to do right. We've tried to follow You. We've tried to be faithful. I just don't know. I know that You've told us. I know that Your Word is real. We're not doubting His Word. But Thomas was saying, I just don't know. And Philip is saying, if You'll just show us, it'll satisfy us. It'll suffice us. And some of the greatest verses in the midst of this 14th chapter, they belong to Philip. Listen to what the Lord says to him. He said in verse number 9, Jesus saith unto him, to Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? I wonder if we believe Him tonight. I wonder if we believe that He can help and that He can save and that He can reconcile. I mean, I wonder, it even comes to the simplicity of, do we really believe He's coming again? Is it impacting our life? Is it changing our life? Is it changing our prayer time? Is it changing our Christianity? He said, Philip, do you not believe me? Do you not believe me? In verse number 14, or verse number 11, he said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very word's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Philip. Jesus talking to Philip. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. In verse 13, talking to Philip, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you see, I'm reading you familiar verses. All Philip said was, show me. It could be as simple as getting in an altar, in church, at home, in your place of work, in your quiet time, and just asking God to show you. Just tell Him you don't understand. Just tell Him you can't figure it out. He's given Philip some of the greatest verses recorded in Scripture because Philip asked Him to show him. He said in verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, I know the health and wealth and prosperity crowds took that and abused it. But he's talking to Philip, somebody that does not understand why he's got to go away. Somebody that doesn't understand, he's heartbroken. I'm telling you, the things that we're facing, we're carrying a lot of it on our own, and it's not God's fault. It's simplicity of prayer. It's not stretching out a bunch of words and trying to quote God His own Scripture. It's just coming before Him and saying, I don't know. I can't figure it out. Would you show me? Would you show me? He continues to talk to Philip. He said in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Hey, it's starting to pay off to say, Lord, would you show me? He said, I'm going to give you a Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. The others got to hear it, but it was to Philip. There's no telling how the Lord can help everyone else if you and I would just get honest and say, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't understand how it can be and why it is. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Those last words, he said, I'll manifest myself to him. That's what Philip asked. Show me. He said, I will. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Spirit. And I will manifest myself. It could be that we don't have what we need tonight because we're not asking. It could be that we're too proud to say, I don't understand. Was you ever like that growing up? I always wanted my daddy to be proud of me. I guess it's a complex I've got. I want my wife to be proud of me. I want to hear her every now and then say, that's good preaching, you know, attaboy. But do you not see where he's at? He's coming and he's being honest. And the Lord is honoring his honesty with answers right direct to the thing that he's asked. Could it be that we're not getting what we need and maybe even not what we want because we're too proud to come to Him and say, I don't know? We're living in a generation that knows everything. If you needed to know everything, you should have met me when I first started preaching. I knew it all then. I still know some that think they know it all, but I'm just living life, we're going to find out we don't understand. Look at this last character, verse 22. Judas, there he is. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? That's all he asked. He said, how is it? He said, I just don't understand. Is there anything in the Christian life you don't understand? You pay your tithe, you're faithful, and troubles come and heartaches come and things that you don't expect come. And then you watch the world, they just go on. It seems like there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no trouble in their homes and their lives. And I'm thinking of a preacher friend of mine tonight, and I don't know a man that's been more faithful. I don't know a man that's lived any more cleaner. And his world has got shocked in the last few days. And I know it's going through his mind. I don't
don't understand. I can't figure this out. We've tried to do right and live right. We've guarded them. We've sheltered them. We've done everything we know to do. We've schooled them in Christian schools. We've kept them around the best men of God, the best meetings. And why do things, bad things happen to good people?
Judas just said, I don't know. He said, saith unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest? How is it? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, that little three-letter word, him. He's talking to Judas, not Iscariot. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Listen to what he got in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Judas said, Lord, I don't understand. And Jesus said, I'm going to pray, and a Comforter's coming with the Holy Ghost, and he's going to teach you. It could be that he's teaching us some things in these last days, if we'd be honest enough to admit that we don't understand. Here's three men in John 14 that have give you and I some of the greatest answers. Some of the greatest preaching I've ever heard has been out of John 14. But do you understand it came from three men that were willing to say, I don't know. And I don't understand. And would you show me? Do you have anything in your life that you don't understand? Do you have anything in your life where you just say, I don't know. I don't know. We've been taught, we've been told, but I just don't know. Is there anything in your life tonight? You just ask the Lord, say, would you show me? There's nothing wrong with praying, expecting. It's what Thomas said. He said, I just don't know. Philip said, I can't see it. Judas, this little known, probably of the three, he said, I just don't understand. I guess I fit in with him the most. There's just so many things in these days I don't understand. But Jesus spoke to him and he said, you're going to get a teacher. Not just any teacher. He said the Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to teach you in all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. It's not that your preacher hadn't preached. It's not that your teachers haven't taught. We just are Adamic creatures, and sometimes we get away from the things that the Lord has told us. But I'm glad that he'll remind us. I'm glad it could be as simple tonight as coming to him and say, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I just don't know. Lord, would you show me? Would you show me? These three men became honest with Jesus. Now listen to what he said in closing in our text. I believe verse 27 down through verse 31, I believe we can see it. All the disciples got help from what these three men's honesty produced. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That could be just directly to Judas. He said, ye, they tell me sometimes that word singular, sometimes it's plural. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now have I told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe me. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And here it is, arise, let us go hence. It's amazing how others could get help tonight or any night in the Christian life if you and I'd be honest. Lord, would you show me? Is there anything you want to see? Have we heard so much preaching from the charismatics that we think it's wrong to say, show me? Judas was that. He may have been lesser known. He may have not had all the accolades. But he was honest enough to say, Lord, would you show me? I don't. Or Philip, Judas said, I don't understand. Thomas is saying, I just don't know. I just don't know. Every head bowed. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of being here. Lord, we understand everywhere we go, people are the same, problems are the same. And I'm glad you're